Hey everyone, this is Kevin and this is English Roundtable. I am joined with Zane.
Good morning. Hello.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Question. Did you cycle today to work?
I hate to say it, but no.
I did not. I see. Well, we are going to talk about cycling. Even though you did not ride today, it's okay.
I feel bad.
I didn't ride either. Don't worry. So do you normally cycle in Japan, let's say on your free time, days off, or if you could go a distance by train, do you prefer to take the bicycle?
In terms of free time, I get as much cycling in as possible. So if I finish work and I go home and the weather's good, I'll try and get out there and go for a ride. In terms of actual transport, I don't tend to use it as a method of transport, but rather just something for my own enjoyment. So
right, you don't want to mix the pain of traveling to work or to somewhere and then mix it with your hobby.
I'm a little worried about if I cycle to work, when I arrive, I'll be all hot and I've already used so much energy.
That's true.
I'm a little worried about that. I know people that do. And they, I don't like the morning train, so it would, it would take some pressure off that. But
right.
I sort of keep the two in different sections. I've got my hobby and my interest, and I've got my pure transport, which is trains at the moment.
Yeah. So, okay. You know, speaking of cycling in Japan, I did not know that the law changed that every person has to wear a helmet. Which changed, I think, in April.
Right.
Beginning of this year.
Okay.
I didn't know about it until someone told me, because
right.
I don't see any change.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I have noticed a few people now that I'm aware that are wearing helmets, but for the most part, no one's taking this law or this mandate seriously.
It seems to be the case with a lot of things in Japan where there's probably a lot of gray area involved. I remember a couple of years ago, they made a law that said you need to have insurance if you're riding a bike.
Oh,
you need to
really?
Have special bike insurance, yeah.
What?
Which I have not done. So there's all kinds of things that, especially if you're a foreigner, you would not know about because it's not publicized.
Right.
It's not enforced. It's kind of a mandated courtesy, I suppose, but
right. Well, when I see the word mandate, that makes me think, oh, it's you got to do it. But
hey, it's Japan. It's always a gray area, I think.
It seems to be
recommended law, I suppose. But the whole helmet thing, that just sort of came up pretty suddenly. Coincidentally, a few months prior to that, I decided to go with a helmet anyway, just because a couple of descents on hills, I thought, I'm going very, very fast down a hill, wasn't wearing a helmet. And I thought, well, if I come off here, it's not going to end well. So I kind of introduced the helmet before they made the law. But
I see. Okay.
I don't think it's a bad idea to wear a helmet.
Yeah, I don't either. It actually got me thinking, because most people don't wear one. Especially if I'm just going to go down the street to the store, I don't think about it. But the more I've thought with this mandate that came up, I do want to get one. Like you said, just for that maybe peace of mind for going down large hills or the mother on a bicycle with her phone.
That's right. Or taxis.
Yeah.
The way that taxis just pull in front of you and stop to pick up a fare.
Oh, right.
That I've almost rear-ended quite seriously a few taxis. Like, luckily, my brakes are fairly good and capable, but there've been so many close calls to the point where I thought, I think a helmet's probably a good idea. For many years, I never wore one. It's only been a recent thing.
Okay.
But I've had a couple of crashes in the past as well. So.
Yeah, same here. You would think after the first two crashes, you would put a helmet on, but nope.
No, I don't know. I've never liked the feeling of wearing a helmet. I'm not particularly pro helmet, but these days, I'm getting old.
Right.
I think it's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to keep the brain healthy.
That's right. Well, I mean, I depend on it.
Exactly.
A bad head injury, and I've lost the ability to work. So,
yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Mm.
Yeah, when I was younger, I did a lot of mountain biking. That was my cycling.
Nice.
Because we luckily live close to a lot of mountains, a lot of trails, and my family, it would be like my father, my brother, and I. We would usually go on the weekends, you know, a few hours, hit the trails. And that was a lot of fun.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Some people
biking.
Are just blessed with good landscapes to go riding.
That's what it was. It was because it was just so close. And then, you know, you've got so many trails that people have made because of that. That, yeah, you could just go 30 minutes and you're there.
You're lucky.
Well, I was lucky. I would love to do it again, but it's, it's very difficult.
Not a lot of that stuff in Tokyo for sure.
Well,
so.
Yeah, definitely not Tokyo.
Very much an urban setting, which is fun in its own way, but it's good to get off-road as well. So,
So if you were to, let's say, travel around Japan, just strictly cycling, do you have any strategy or do you have any places that you would like to visit by bicycle?
That's a tough one. And it's something I've been thinking about for a while. I'm quite interested in the bikepacking
movement. That's what I was going to mention.
Yeah, if I did it, I'd probably want to take a bit of time and just have a nice leisurely ride. I don't have any particular places. I mean, I'd definitely like to ride from Tokyo to Osaka. That's always been a thing. And then maybe see where I you know ended up after that. But no particular game plan. But if I was to do it, I'd definitely go the bikepacking route and take everything I needed and try and not use hotels if possible, try and find somewhere to camp. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be the way I'd do it.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to ask. I don't know much about the landscape with Japan and with campsites, but are there campsites throughout that you could, you know, you could possibly stay
at? I believe so. It would probably take some planning. But I believe that there are designated campsites in, you know, various places around Japan. So if you planned it well and, you know, worked out how long you'd need to get from one place to another, you could probably camp at official spots.
Yeah, which I mean, you'd have to do probably.
I'm sure there's a few out of the way places that you could put a tent up for the night and not be noticed. But the good thing about Japan is it's a nice, safe country. So you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, your stuff going missing while you're sleeping. So
a
lot of people
that
do bike packing in other countries, you know, they really need to worry about security. But I think here you'd be okay with that. So
yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, haven't done too much research on that, but I'd go the bike packing route for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like locally, because you said it's, you know, your hobby. So where are you usually riding around? Do you have certain destinations? Do you like to just take the road where it goes and maybe just decide, oh, I'll go left here, see where it takes me?
Sometimes I do that. Yeah. My most recent ride, I just picked a road that I wasn't overly familiar with it. And I rode on that for a couple of hours and then took a break and came home. I had no idea what I was going to get into. I ended up out in the countryside somewhere. There were rice paddies and things. And I started to get a bit worried.
Then you have no self-service.
Like like I'd entered another world or something. Sometimes I do it like that. Just sort of pick a direction, ride for an hour or so and see where I end up. Occasionally I'll loop back into a road that I'm familiar with, so I'll continue my regular loop. I do have a couple of regular loops. So
what's the distance? You said usually an hour, so
well, it can be an hour, but anywhere from an hour to like 3 or 4 hours for a standard ride.
And with your speed and rate, how many kilometers are you usually
We're talking
going?
Anywhere from like 20 kilometers up to maybe 60 or 70.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a road bike. So it gets the pace up pretty nicely.
Oh,
depends on traffic as well. So
I'm sure you're usually always trying to not take the busiest road. So you're trying to find those like cutoffs.
On occasions, I do keep to some main roads because I'm familiar with them and I know they're nice and smooth and I know there's not too many obstacles and they're reasonably safe. So
okay,
but other times, I'll just veer off and take some back streets, and there's no real set plan. Like I've got
fun.
A couple of set routes, but could end up anywhere.
Yeah, that's fun. I like that. So what kind of gear are you working with? So take me through your bike and any other attachments you may have.
Okay, so the main bike that I have is a road bike, so it's all carbon. I've built some of the pieces myself for it. So that was a project that took a couple of years to just source the parts and actually build it.
Wow, that's cool.
So
your frame is different company maybe from something
else. Yeah, like it literally has parts from all over the world on it. So I did a lot of research, tried to find the lightest weight parts and just went with whatever company was making those.
Yeah.
Finally built it up when I moved to Tokyo permanently. And I've been riding that for a couple of years or so now.
Oh, nice.
And it's held up pretty well. Like, even custom fabricated a few parts for it. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's the lightweight road bike. So that's at the moment that's around the 4 kilogram mark.
Very light.
So that's like,
yeah, you pick it up with your
pinky. You can pick it up with your little finger.
That's the style.
That's a nice bike to ride. But I've got a mountain bike as well,
A
single speed mountain bike, like steel mountain bike. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going on an unknown route, I'll probably take that one.
Oh, really?
Because
okay.
You don't know how the roads are gonna
shape
up.
Yeah,
so
very good point.
Yeah, that's kind of the trial bike. And if it's a nice route, I'll take the road bike out there. So
you do a little testing beforehand if you're gonna go somewhere new.
Do a bit of a test circuit. Recently, I've just bought a BMX as well, so planning to get back into the BMXing. So
you did that before?
Yeah, that's what I grew up with. So I was a BMX kid when I grew up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There wasn't much else to do where I was living. So all of my friends had BMXs. We used to make jumps and just, ride around on our BMXs. That was really all we did. Back in elementary school.
Yeah.
That was the main thing. There wasn't a lot of, it was a country town basically. Mm-hmm. So that was our main source of entertainment. That and video games. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a Mongoose.
Nice.
BMX type bike. That was one of my first bikes.
Yeah. Mongoose. Great company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
American
really
classic.
There you go.
I've just bought a Haro.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know if
yeah.
you know those.
Yeah.
So yeah, like kind of a.
And you got the pegs?
I do. It does have pegs. Yeah, pegs and the. Do you remember the gyro, which allowed you to spin the handlebars around without tangling the brake cables up? So
that's fun.
Yeah. So
wow, that's cool.
All of that stuff. So that's my latest thing. So.
So you're getting out there and.
Getting. I'm still building that one. So.
So are there BMX like? Locations that you can ride?
There are parks.
Really?
Like there's around Tokyo, there's a few. There's sort of skate BMX parks or flatland stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a few of them around. So,
well, for the Olympics in Odaiba, they built that park. Is that open for the
public?
I believe
that has been open to the public now.
I hope so.
I'm not sure if it's all the time or, but that's an excellent facility.
Well,
so,
surely, the Olympics.
Olympic
were there.
Grade. So, you would hope so.
Yeah. Because that kind of worried me. A lot of countries, when they build these parks and things, they just let it go to waste.
That's right.
Or they basically don't even use it.
That's right.
So that really worried me that they would destroy it or just not let it get overgrown.
It's sad that that does happen. Like I remember seeing a video of some stuff from the Olympics in Greece and it's all just like in ruins now and just billions poured into that.
Right.
They're not even using it.
It's terrible.
It's very, very wasteful. So I believe that they have opened the one in Tokyo to the public as just a general skate park.
And okay, that's good to know.
Hopefully. But,
so are these locations nearby you? Like, because, I don't know if I want to take a BMX bike down the Tokyo streets personally.
Coming from a lighter weight bike, like actually commuting around on a BMX is not the best. I don't know the exact location. There's one that I can cycle to that's reasonably close to where I am. It's only a small park. And there's bits and pieces around as well. Like there might be a ramp set up here. Quite often under the highways, like people have built their own, how under the highways, there's like those little spaces that they have. I quite often see sort of homemade ramps and things just set up in those areas around the place. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping, and maybe it has since the Olympics, that the culture and the tolerance, I guess, for skateboarding and BMX would be more open. Cause, that's and it's not just Japan, but other countries, especially cities, they really don't want you on the property to, you know, if you're going to destroy it or something. That's kind of the mentality that skaters have and, and BMX bikers, you know, the punk mentality.
Yeah, we're all just punks. Right. You know? Right. Very much like that in Australia as well. Mm. The amount of times that I was chased by security guards from, from right. various places. But I think in Japan, I heard something about after the skateboarding at the Olympics, there'd been a lot more interest in skateboarding in general, for like with kids wanting to get into it and that sort of thing. So I guess BMX would be the same way.
So yeah, I would think so.
Hopefully tolerance will go hand in hand with that.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, the wasn't the winner of the skating 13-year-old?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen so, especially like on social media, there's so many younger Japanese kids that are skating and they're amazing. Absolutely amazing.
The thing I've noticed with Japanese kids in general, like if they put their heart into something, be it skateboarding or BMXing or some sort of sport, they're, they're generally really, really good at it.
Yeah.
I see even kids when I'm riding around, I'll see a kid on a skateboard or something doing stuff that I couldn't do.
Right.
Besides the jealousy that I have, I think, wow, that's, you know, that's amazing.
Yeah.
They do really focus, I've noticed. So yeah, there are a lot of good young skaters in Japan, BMXers, completely different tangent, but like break dancers as well.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's true. Very, very, like the b-boy scene.
Yeah,
has grown
amazing,
a lot.
Amazing talent in Japan.
Yeah.
So I have noticed that about those kind of activities in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that subculture's gained a lot of popularity, it seems like, in the past several years. So.
Definitely.
I like it, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of who I am. So if that gets more into the mainstream, I'm all for it.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly. So let's go biking sometime. You've helped me out before with trying to get a bike. I currently don't have a
We need
a
to get you
bike.
On a bike. but yeah, definitely. I'd be keen for a bike ride anytime.
All right, sounds good. Well, let's wrap it up. Thank you very much for joining, and thank you everyone for listening.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to English Roundtable, made possible by Kanda Gaigo Career College in Tokyo, Japan. If you enjoyed hearing natural English conversation, subscribe and like us wherever you're listening, and check us out on YouTube, Twitter, and our other SNS platforms, which will be in the description for this episode. Head over to the YouTube page to see some of the keywords we used in the conversation and other activities to test your English listening skills. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.